Paul was a great apostle, the guy who wrote so much of our Bible. You'd think he might just be a little conceited. But look at Romans 15. He doesn't just tell others what to do. He gets right in there with them. He was an encourager, teacher, preacher, and servant. Paul was someone with no ego getting in the way. And that's true leadership. Today on The Wisdom Journey, you're going to learn what a life of genuine service looks like. Here's Stephen Davey.
Now, as we sail back into Romans chapter 15, Paul is going to deliver some special compliments to these believers living in Rome. And keep in mind that Paul has heard about them, but he's not yet met them. Paul is going to wear four different hats, so to speak. He's going to reveal four specific roles here that he's going to play in the lives of these believers. The first hat that he wears, or the first role he plays, is that of encourager. The Apostle Paul writes here at the beginning of verse 14, "I myself am satisfied about you." Now, the word Paul uses for satisfied could be translated convinced. Paul is convinced about them for some reasons. And he's going to give us three reasons or three qualities in their lives. First, Paul says here, "You yourselves are full of goodness." Well, they're like a sponge that's filled with water. Obviously, if you squeeze that sponge, water's going to come out. So Paul is saying here, life is squeezing you there in Rome, but look what's coming out of you, goodness. Now, keep in mind that goodness is a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5 and verse 22, where Paul uses the same Greek word for goodness. That's encouraging to know because goodness isn't a personality trait, beloved. It isn't something you produce by self-effort. You can't put goodness on your list of New Year's resolutions. Goodness isn't something you can achieve. It's the result of God's Spirit reforming you into the person you want to be, which is a person of goodness, of good character, like the Lord himself, who as Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 said, he went about doing good. Well, next here in this verse, Paul is convinced that the Roman believers are filled with all knowledge. Now, when Paul says here they're filled with all knowledge, he doesn't mean that they never miss a question on a theology test or they have nothing more to learn. He's referring to the fact that they have been given all the knowledge they need to walk with Christ. So Paul is complimenting these Roman believers for their passion to learn and then their dedication to apply the biblical knowledge that they learn to life. You know, too many Christians today are researching the truths of the Bible, but not reproducing the truths of the Bible in their own lives. Beloved, the Bible wasn't given to make us smarter, but to make us more submissive to its author, the Holy Spirit, who moved through submissive hearts to produce God's inspired word. Well, now the third encouragement from Paul here in verse 14 is that he writes, believers are able to instruct one another. The original word for instruct is noutheteo. That gives us our word nouthetic. It means to counsel. It's been adopted to refer to biblical or nouthetic counseling. That's helping one another stay on the path of godly living. Now with that, Paul slips on another hat. Now he's going to play the role of professor. He says here in verse 15, "But on some points I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder." So Paul's going to remind them of some things here. Now, Paul would have made a good university or seminary professor because a good professor provides regular reminders. And, well, that's because students tend to regularly forget what they learned. The Apostle Peter also put on the professor's hat in 2 Peter when he wrote these words. He wrote, "I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Now, I say all that to encourage you not to be offended by being given a review. Even Christians who are well established in the truth need reminders. I certainly do, and let's never resent the review process. The Bible itself, have you ever thought about the fact that it repeats so many of the same truths over and over again? Well, now third, Paul puts on this hat. He's going to play the role of a preacher. He says here in verse 15, "Grace was given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles." In other words, Paul was given a special responsibility to preach, not only to the Jewish world, but also, and really primarily, to the Gentile world. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, he describes the people that God had called him to minister to as strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, how did Paul minister to them? His principal method was through preaching the gospel of Christ. By the way, Paul makes it clear that his calling was the gracious work of God. He never said he was appointed a preacher because, you know, of his ministry ability or because of his intellect or his background in the law or even his speaking and teaching gifts. It was by the grace of God. Paul never got over the fact that God's grace had redeemed him and then ordained him into the gospel ministry. And let me tell you, beloved, we're not going to make much difference in our world today unless we depend a lot less on our gifts and a lot more on the grace of God. Well, now Paul goes on to write here in verse 16 that he was to put on the hat of minister. He was to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is living, as we are today, in the New Testament dispensation of grace. So, Paul isn't talking about offering any lambs up or turtle doves or grain offerings. He's offering up to God Gentile converts. Paul is using this analogy that he is offering to God this miracle of grace, the grace of God in bringing Gentiles to faith. Now, again, Paul calls himself a minister here in verse 16, a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. The Greek word Paul uses here for minister is liturgos, which gives us our English word liturgy. Now, the word originally referred to somebody who served the public at his own expense, somebody without a salary, no position, no retirement package, just acts of service to the community. Over time, the word came to refer to anybody who volunteered to serve people, often at great personal sacrifice. And this is the word Paul uses for his own life as a minister. He's willing to sacrifice his life for the good of others. Kind of reminds me of a surgeon I read about by the name of Evan Kane. Dr. Kane was convinced that local anesthesia could be used in major surgeries, thus, you know, lowering the risk to the patient. Well, at the time, patients often died while under anesthesia, so the medical community wasn't convinced at all they ought to change, and Dr. Kane couldn't find a patient brave enough to be the first person to try local anesthesia. Well, during his 37 years as a surgeon, he had performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies under general anesthesia, but finally he found a patient who needed an appendectomy, and he volunteered to have it done under just local anesthesia. Well, during surgery, Dr. Kane skillfully cut through the flesh and muscle. He entered the abdomen, located the appendix, carefully clipped it away, and then sewed up the wound. The patient had been fully awake and reported only minor discomfort during surgery. Well, after 2 days of recovery, much faster than usual, the patient was released from the hospital. Well, finally, the medical world had to pay attention. The patient was just too credible to ignore. You see, Dr. Evan Kane had operated on himself. He was the only patient willing to take the risk and make the sacrifice. Well, since that surgery back in 1921, his technique has changed the face of surgery, saving the lives of countless numbers of people to this day. Let me tell you, beloved, Christians who make the most difference in our lives are not the ones who just remind us of how much they know or how much they matter. They are volunteers willing to wear any number of hats, to play different roles, to make all kinds of personal sacrifices for the sake of other people and for the glory of God. Well, let's be that kind of Christian today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
So, titles and fancy robes, those things are meaningless in the big picture, aren't they? But putting others first, helping them learn to grow, offering the good news of Jesus with a humble heart, now, that's real ministry. That's the kind of ministry Paul modeled for us, the kind that changes lives and echoes for eternity. So, what hat will you wear today? Will you be an encourager? A teacher? How will you be a servant, just like Paul showed you? Stephen called today's lesson, Wearing Different Hats of Helpfulness. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen is teaching through all 66 books of the Bible. He has a lesson each weekday, and this entire series is a 3-year journey through the Bible. If you'd like to go back and listen to any of the previous lessons, you'll find all of them at wisdomonline.org. There's a video version as well, so if you'd rather watch, you can do that online. I'm excited to be able to tell you about something pretty new here at Wisdom International. We've rolled out new technology that allows our website to be experienced in multiple languages. We're going to be working over the next several months to upload more of our foreign language content. We have a little bit there already, and we want to offer all 9 of our current languages. And the exciting thing is that this technology will work with every language on earth. So, as God enables us to develop more languages, we'll be able to present those to a global audience. Visit wisdomonline.org to see what I'm talking about. Once again, that website is wisdomonline.org. If you'd like to speak with us, our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. We're in the office on weekdays, and we'd be very glad to speak with you. Then join us next time to continue the wisdom journey.